Oh, good morning. So we've spent several weeks together talking about Jesus. And I don't want to disappoint you, so today we're going to talk about Jesus. Honestly, when we started this series, when Pastor Tim was going on sabbatical and asked if Matt and I would take a series coming off of Easter, I really just felt we needed to keep talking about Jesus because there is no greater name that we can talk about. There is no other name by which we can be saved. And so we've spent several weeks talking about Jesus and looking at him in the Old Testament and looking at him in the New Testament and looking at him in the book of Revelation. And the point is this, that every... No? This is better. Do you want me to stand over here? Just so you know, it's me. It's not them. It's not the microphone. It literally is me. Dave Mathewson and I went online one time, and I said, Dave, what's the problem? And we read this article where it's very possible that the static electricity of the person, the actual person, can mess things up. So literally, it is me, okay? Yes, I'm electric, yes. I have a lot of static electricity in me. So we're going to look at how today Jesus is the cornerstone. This is going to be the final message in the series. And next week, Pastor Matt is going to talk through the book of Colossians in a series called Legacy. But today, we're going to finish with Jesus being the cornerstone of your life. And what a fitting way to end as we close out this series is that Jesus needs to be the foundation of your life. He needs to be the foundation of your life. I want you to open up in your Bible to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We're going to be in Matthew today, we're going to be in Psalm 118, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter today, okay? So we're going to travel around through the Bible quite a bit, but all of these passages that we're going to look at in the Bible have to do with this idea of a cornerstone, this idea of God, of Jesus being the rock, the foundation of your life. And what you decide about Jesus is incredibly important. What you decide about Jesus is incredibly important for your life. And so in Matthew 21, Jesus is having an interaction with some religious leaders. And these religious leaders are not happy with Jesus. In fact, they don't like him very much. And as Jesus is interacting with them, they ask a question, who gives you this authority? Who do you think you are, Jesus, that you can come in here and say the things that you're saying and tell people the things that you're telling them? And Jesus starts to tell them about the kingdom of God. And he tells them this parable, this story in Matthew 21. And let me just sum it up for you real quick. He tells the story of a man who owned a vineyard. And that man went away and he rented out his vineyard to some workers, to some people that he called tenants. And they were supposed to work the vineyard. And at the time of harvest, they were supposed to give some of the harvest to the owner. And when the harvest came, the owner sent his servants to collect. And those tenants decided to kill the servants. And so he sent more servants and they decided to do the same thing. And finally, the owner of the vineyard sent his son. He sent his son. And he figured, surely if I send my son to them, they will listen. They will listen to him. And they decided that they would kill the son. Because if they killed the son, then the vineyard would be theirs when the owner passed away. And so the owner finds out that his son has died. And now the owner comes back to confront the tenants. And Jesus asked the religious leaders, the chief priests, and he says, what do you think the owner is going to do when he finds out what you did to his son? And they said, he's probably going to kill him. And Jesus then says these words in Matthew 21, verse 42. Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. Jesus came to the people of Israel to be the Messiah, to be the chosen one that God had been promising throughout Scripture. And when Jesus finally came to them, they had to make a choice. And they chose wrong. They chose to reject Jesus. And Jesus quotes Psalm 118 and he says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The choice that you made was the wrong choice. The choice that you made was the wrong choice. And we make choices all the time, don't we? And so today's message is about making choices. And I want to show you something here. If you had made a $100 investment in Apple in 2002, it would have yielded you $9,500. You see, we all make choices, and in 2002, if you didn't choose Apple stock, you lost out. See, when Jesus says to the Pharisees, the stone you've rejected has become a cornerstone, has become the foundation, has become something you really missed out on. If that wasn't enough, if you would have invested $100 in Amazon's IPO, which is their initial public offering in 1997, just $100, you would have made $120,000 if you cashed that in August of last year. That's a big number. That's a big number. We all make choices. And see, in 1997, if you would have made that choice, you'd have a lot of money right now, right? And you're probably all kicking yourself. Some of you might be going to your stock market app right now and you're saying, okay, don't listen to Bobby today. I got to check these stocks out, right? Last one. You're going to kick yourself for this one if you don't make this investment. $100 invested today in Bobby LaRue. I don't understand why you're laughing. We'll yield you a hearty handshake and my deepest gratitude. So if you want to get in on that, we can talk after the service, but I don't want you to miss out, okay? The point, please don't invest in me. Oh my gosh, I will lose your money. I will totally lose your money, okay? But here's the point this morning. We all make choices, don't we? You see, when we talk about financial choices, it makes sense. When you see those big numbers, right? You could have had $120,000 today if you had invested in Amazon. And you might be kicking yourself. But there's a greater choice that you need to make this morning. See, and the Pharisees missed it in Matthew 21. The Pharisees missed it. Because what they did is they rejected the cornerstone. You see, God sent them Jesus. He'd been talking about Jesus all throughout the Old Testament in various ways. And he finally sent them Jesus. And they had to make a choice. And they rejected him. And what Jesus says is, you made the wrong choice because I have become everything you ever needed in your life. And yet you rejected me. And because of that, I have to take the kingdom away from you. I came to give it to you. I came to give you everything, and you rejected me, and because of that, you've now lost everything. See, that's the choice this morning. Will you choose Jesus? That's how I want to end this series with that question. Will you choose Jesus for your life every single day? Will you make him the foundation? Well, as I said, Jesus quotes a passage in Psalm 118, so you're welcome to turn there. If not, I have part of that verse on the screen. See, our journey today is how God had been speaking this truth all along to the people of Israel. And Jesus quotes Psalm 118, and this is a psalm in which the author, whom we don't know, writes about some enemies that had been surrounding him. Some people have surrounded him. It says in verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Verse 12, they swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Verse 13, I was pushed back. I was about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. See, in this psalm, the author is retelling the story of how his enemies had surrounded him. And in that moment of desperation, he cried out to God, and God, through the author, delivered him. And in this psalm, the enemies of the author were looking at this person and saying, He's nothing. He's nothing. He's no one to be scared of. Whoever this author is, he's no one to be scared of. But if we keep reading in Psalm 118, verse 22, it says this. The author writes, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. You see, the Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus refers back to this psalm, and what he's saying to the chief priests in Matthew 21 is just as the people in Psalm 118 rejected God, you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing today. This is not the first time that God has been rejected. In fact, we constantly reject God. We constantly reject God. And you see it again in Isaiah chapter 8. So why don't you turn there this morning? If you're in Psalm, if you just flip to the right, you'll find Isaiah. You don't have to go too far. Isaiah chapter 8. If you have trouble counting, 8 is after 7. It is before 9. There's a long history in the Old Testament of people rejecting God, of thinking they're making the right choice, only to find out that they've made the wrong choice. In Isaiah chapter 8, there's a bit of a situation going on. At this time, there are two kings that are fighting against one king. And the two kings are Pekah, the son of Remaliah. He's the king of Israel. So if you don't remember this from a few weeks ago, in about 1100 and about 1000 BC, somewhere around there, the kingdom of Israel splits into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. So we have two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Israel is fighting against Judah, and Israel invokes the help of Aram, A-R-A-M. That's modern-day Syria. And so now we have these two kings in the north fighting against this king in the south. And this king in the south, you can read the background in Isaiah 7, but he has a choice to make. He has this choice to make. Is he going to trust in God, or is he going to trust in his own plans? And he decides to trust in his own plans, and he hires the help of a nation called Assyria, one of the most dominant powers in the world at this time. And God now, through Isaiah, speaks in verse 5, Isaiah 8, verse 5. The Lord spoke to me again, and he says, because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah and rejoices over Rezin, that's the king of Aram, and the son of Remaliah, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the river, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. It will overflow its channels, run over its banks, and sweep into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 8, the king of Judah has a choice to make when the two kings from the north are attacking him. And he chooses not to trust in God. He chooses to go about it his own way. You ever been there? You ever try to do something on your own and it doesn't work out? You see, that happens to me all the time when I engage in construction projects. I had a leaky faucet in my bathtub a month or so ago. And I thought, it's just a leak. I can fix this. The Lord has not given me any of those skills. So I took off the handle to the bathtub, and then it got worse. And I tried to put it back together, and it wasn't working. So I had to call in reinforcements. You see, and I learned in that moment, Bobby, never fix anything on your own. Because you're not good at it. And when we try to do things on our own aside from God, it doesn't work out well. You see, the little problem that we had turns into a bigger problem, doesn't it? The leak begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the point is this, you see, the king of Judah, he has this choice to make in Isaiah 8, that he's going to do it his way or he's going to trust in God. He has a choice to make. And he chooses to trust in the king of Assyria instead of the king of kings, instead of the Lord. And because of that, let's skip over to verse 11, because God then speaks to Isaiah again. And the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand upon me, and he was warning me not to follow. Not to follow. Verse 12, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a sanctuary for both houses of Israel. He should have been a sanctuary, but for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. You see, God was supposed to be a rock for them. God was supposed to be a stone, a firm foundation, a sanctuary. And because they chose to go their own way, because they chose their own plan, because they chose the king of Assyria instead of God, the creator of heaven and earth, that stone became a stumbling block. That stone became a stumbling block. And so what we're seeing throughout Psalm 118 and Isaiah chapter 8 is this recurring theme of rejecting God. When you reject God, it doesn't go well. Well, this is not the last time they reject God in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28, we're continuing the story of these two northern kingdoms versus the southern kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 28, the two northern kingdoms are about to fall. Assyria is about to take them over. But what's interesting is that Judah, the southern kingdom, trusted in Assyria. They trusted in Assyria. And it says this in verse 14 of Isaiah 28. Hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Let me just stop right there. They're scoffing at the northern kingdoms because the northern kingdoms are about to fall because they did not trust in God. And now the southern kingdom is laughing and they're saying, you're getting what you deserve. But the Lord, through Isaiah, says, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the grave, we had made an agreement. And an overwhelming scourge sweeps by. It cannot touch us, for we have made a lie our refuge and a falsehood our hiding place. Now, this is years later after Isaiah chapter 8. And the king of Judah is choosing to trust in someone who is not God. So now this is the third time. Psalm 118, Isaiah 8, Isaiah 28, that people in the Bible are choosing not to trust in God. And because they don't trust in God, he is now a stone that they stumble over. And this all starts because Jesus points out to the Pharisees that they rejected the stone sent by God. And because of that, the kingdom is taking away. Because of that, they're going to stumble and fall. You see, we all make choices, don't we? Every single day, you make a choice. And that choice you make, you will either rise upon or you will fall upon. In Isaiah chapter 28, this king chooses to make an agreement with death. An agreement with death. Because that is going to be his foundation. That's going to be his way out of trouble. Look at Isaiah 28, 22. Now stop your mocking or your chains will become heavier. Stop your mocking or your chains will become heavier. The Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decreed against this whole land. Ultimately, when you reject God, the chains in your life become heavier. When you reject God, the chains in your life become heavier, and it leads to total destruction. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see a people who choose not God, but choose their own way. And when they choose their own way, the chains become heavier. When the chains become heavier, it leads to total destruction. Do you have chains this morning? Do you have chains this morning? Are you burdened? Are you weighed down? Do you have chains this morning? Because this morning you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You can follow God, or you can reject God. You can follow God, or you can reject God. And in that same passage in Isaiah chapter 28, I get the sense Now, I read it a little bit out of order, but I get the sense as we've gone from Matthew to Psalm 118 to Isaiah 8 to Isaiah 28, we just constantly see these people rejecting God. And when we get to Isaiah 28, verse 16, I get the sense that God is like, enough, enough, stop rejecting me. And he says this, this is what the sovereign Lord says, verse 16. You see, I lay a stone in Zion. A tested stone, a precious cornerstone. For a sure foundation, the one who trusts will never be dismayed. You thought Jesus was just for the New Testament. It's not true. You see, in the Old Testament, after God watching these people make mistake, making a choice against him, rejecting him over and over and over, by the time we get to Isaiah 28, enough, stop. I'm going to send you a cornerstone. Enough. Quit rejecting me as the rock. Quit it. You see, I will send you a stone. I will send you a firm foundation. And if you trust in that cornerstone, what does it say? You will never be dismayed. You will never be dismayed if you trust in who I am sending to you. Because it will be a firm foundation. I used to lay brick. I told you I have no fix-it or construction skills, but yet I laid brick for one summer. And I remember one time we had knocked down the foundation of this house. We actually jacked up a house on these jack posts, and we took down the concrete basement, the foundation, and we had to build a new foundation because it was deteriorating. And as we began to build it, the first stone is always the most important, because if you don't get that first stone right, the rest of it turns out crooked and becomes weak. And that's not what you want for the foundation of your house, right? You want something that is strong. And so as this house began to get rebuilt, the foundation, I noticed that the first stone was a little crooked. I noticed that the person laying it didn't angle it the right way. But I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything because I was young and I was inexperienced. I didn't feel that I could say anything to the person who had over 60 years of laying brick. And as they began to build on that crooked cornerstone, it became very obvious hours into the project that the wall was not turning out right. And the wall that was supposed to be straight, the wall that was supposed to be the foundation of this house, to protect the lives of the people that were inside of it, was now crooked and worthless. And this morning, you have a choice to reject the cornerstone. You have this choice to embrace the cornerstone. You see, and you have a choice, and the choice that you make will either be a firm foundation or it will be a worthless foundation. In Isaiah 28:16, God says, I have laid a stone. I have laid a stone. The fact is this, that you and I cannot make the right choices for our lives. We cannot make our own foundations for our lives. We cannot, by our own strength, set our lives on the straight path. And that's why God says, I'm going to send you a cornerstone. Because if you trust in that stone, you will never be dismayed. You will never be dismayed. But you have to trust in that stone. And as Tim prayed this morning, isn't that the rejection? Isn't that the temptation to reject the cornerstone? You see, the devil, he has these schemes, he has these thoughts, and he wants to put them into your head. He wants to challenge you. He wants to tell you that, hey, maybe Jesus isn't the best thing for your life. You could probably fix that on your own. These are the temptations of the devil. And he begins to put these thoughts into your head that maybe the best way to get my life back on track is to do it my own way. Maybe the best way to get my life back on track is to make more money. You ever had that thought? That's usually my first thought. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to start delivering pizzas. That's always my answer when things start going wrong. I'm like, I'll just start delivering pizzas and I'll make more money. Yeah, I laugh at that too after I think about it. Nothing wrong with delivering pizzas, but that's not the hope for my life. And then I start thinking, well, what if I just try something else on my own? What if I just be a better person? What if I just start doing this? What if I start doing that? And I come up with all these ideas, and none of those ideas are Jesus. And see, what the Bible teaches me in Isaiah 28 is this. Look, you can choose anything you want to be the cornerstone of the foundation of your life. You can choose whatever you want, but unless you choose the cornerstone that God has laid in Zion, it's not going to turn out well. In fact, we've already seen as you reject God throughout Psalm 118, Isaiah 8, and Isaiah 28, it doesn't end up well. Because in Isaiah 28:22, it says this, your chains become heavier, doesn't it? The more you reject the cornerstone, the heavier the chains of your life are going to get. And that's true for tomorrow. And that's true for 10 years down the road. You might not have a situation in your life where the chains are heavy right now, but maybe you will one day. And the choice is going to be this. Are you going to choose God or are you going to reject God? Let's turn to 1 Peter, because Peter also picks up on this idea of the cornerstone. We know in Matthew 21 that Jesus says, the stone that you have rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus himself is saying, I am that person that everyone has been talking about, looking toward in the Old Testament. When God said there's going to be a stone that you can stumble over or a stone that you can make the foundation of your life, it is me. It is Jesus Christ. And Peter picks up on that in 1 Peter. Let me give you a little context. In 1 Peter, he's writing to a group of people who are suffering. They're suffering mightily. And they're at this crossroads in their life where they're about to reject God because it's too hard to follow him. Because they're not sure if he's what they need in their life at that moment. They're experiencing these troubling times. The chains are heavy upon them, and they have to make a choice, because we all make choices, don't we? Don't we all make choices? In verse 4, it says, as you come to him, 1 Peter 2:4, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. We just read that in Isaiah 28, right? Peter goes on in verse 7, now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's Psalm 118. And a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. That's Isaiah chapter 8. Peter quotes those three passages we just looked at in the Old Testament. And he's saying to these people, I know it's hard right now. And I know you have to make a choice. And if you choose Jesus as the cornerstone, you will never be put to shame. It will never be the wrong choice. You will never look back on your life to that moment where you chose Jesus and go, you know what, that was so stupid. I can't believe I chose Jesus. I should have taken that job delivering pizzas. You will never, ever look back and say that. Never. And that is the hope for you and I this morning. And I can guarantee you today, if you choose Jesus, you will never look back and go, man, I really blew it. I should have never made him the cornerstone of my life. That was a waste of time. You will never say that. But it does say this, for those who do not believe, for those who today will reject Jesus as the foundation of their life, it says this, that stone will become the cornerstone. That stone will cause you to stumble. It will be a rock that makes you fall. See, you will look back on your life at this moment, and if you don't choose Jesus, you will look back and you will say, I wish I would have done that. Maybe you can look back into your life right now and see these moments where you did not choose Jesus, but instead you chose your own way. Well, that's in the past, but today you can choose Jesus and make him the cornerstone of your life. Today, he can be the foundation for you to move forward. Today, if your chains are heavy, he can break them, can he? You can't break your own chains. Keep reading here in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And I go, that's it. That's it. Why make Jesus the cornerstone of your life? Because when you make Jesus the cornerstone, he calls you out of darkness and he brings you into the light. He breaks the chains that are upon you and he brings you into freedom. Over and over and over in the Old Testament and in Matthew, we see people rejecting the cornerstone. Look at the screen there in Psalm 118. The nations dismissed God and the author, and they were defeated. In Isaiah 8, the people of Israel and Judah reject God, and both their nations fell. Isaiah 28, the leaders of Judah scoffed at God, and their chains became heavier. Matthew 21, the religious leaders plot against Jesus, and they lose the kingdom. And in 1 Peter 2, those who reject Jesus will stumble, fall, and stay in darkness. This is what it is like to reject Jesus as the cornerstone of your life. This is what the Bible over and over and over points to. And I love in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, how he ends with coming out of the darkness and into the light. Make Jesus the foundation of your life. Make Jesus the cornerstone. Embrace the stone that God promised that he laid in Zion in Isaiah chapter 28. Embrace that stone for your life today. We all make choices, don't we? We all make choices. Today you have a choice to make. Will Jesus be the cornerstone of your life? This whole series, we've been pointing you to Jesus because there is no other name by which I can point you that is greater than Jesus. There is no greater hope than Jesus. He is the seed. He is the priest. He is the Judah king. He is the cornerstone. He is the prophet like Moses. He is the king in the line of David. Over and over and over and over, God is pointing people to Jesus. There is no other place for you to turn. So wherever you're at in your life, whatever chains you have, whatever hopes you have, it is Jesus who is the foundation of it all. To put your trust in Jesus. Do not walk out of here today and say, you know what, I'm going to try something different. You can't. You will fail. You will stumble, you will fall, you will stay in darkness. You cannot walk out of here and try something other than Jesus. And as we close out this series, I just hope, I pray that in these several weeks that you have a new appreciation and the love for Jesus, because he has always been the hope for every generation, hasn't he? You see, today I want to encourage you to choose God's promised cornerstone. I want you to choose Jesus. He was, he is, and he always will be the hope for every generation, amen? You see, he was, he is, and he will always be the hope for your life, amen? You see, there is nothing that you can choose today that will be greater than Jesus. There is nothing that you can choose tomorrow that will be greater than Jesus. And if you can't remember anything from these last 7 weeks, please remember Jesus. One word. That's all I need you to remember. Because if I preach anything else, it is worthless. But if I preach Jesus, he is a foundation for those who are stumbling. If I preach Jesus, he is the chain breaker for those who are in chains. If I preach Jesus, he is the light in the dark. Thank you. You see, I've preached it for several weeks, but you have a choice to embrace him or not. I can't do that for you. So I'm going to go to prayer. My prayer is going to be that you would embrace Jesus. My prayer is that you would embrace Jesus this morning. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, over and over and over, you point us to your promised one. You point us to your son, Jesus. And today, we have seen him as the cornerstone, the foundation of our lives. Heavenly Father, do not let us walk out of here this morning without choosing Jesus as our cornerstone. And Father, knowing that, you will break the chains that bind us, Lord. You will lead us out of the darkness that envelops us. So, Father, we praise you that the hope has always been Jesus. And we praise you, God, that we can come to Jesus this morning, knowing that he will not reject us. For those in here this morning who are experiencing chains, Father, would they choose Jesus? For those who have not put their faith in Jesus as their Savior, would they choose that this morning? Father God, would we leave here today and choose Jesus every day and always? And would we point others to him? And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.